Would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter. The Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter. I want to share a principle that may not be terribly new. Likely it's not terribly new. But to my way of thinking, it is profound. And it's important for us to understand, those of us who want to please God and who want to inherit His promises. If it is your intention to please God, would you let me see your hands in a raised position? You want to please God. I want to be pleasing to my God, all right? Now, those of you who want to inherit and obtain the blessings that God has promised us, could I see your hands? You want to have God's blessings and you want to have His promises. All right, you may lower your hands. I want you to listen carefully then to the word that God has for us today, beginning to read in the 11th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the 14th verse. This story from the life of Jesus. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. That is, the man who was possessed with this devil could not speak. The activity of this demon spirit in this man's life caused his mouth to be dumb, and he was unable to speak. And it came to pass that when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. And the people wondered. In other words, they were amazed. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils by or through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, we could take this passage of Scripture and spend a great deal of time in any one of a number of subjects. We could discuss the power of God. We could discuss casting out devils. We could discuss holy living as the means to maintain our deliverance and our freedom. We could talk about kingdoms which are divided versus those that are united and the various degrees of power which are available to both. We could talk about the miracle-working power of God through this man Jesus to heal, to deliver. We could talk about the very much wisdom which he employed in his teaching ministry as he had simply, as he ministered to this dumb man and then took occasion of following that miracle to teach the people. We could talk about the persecution that came to him as a result of his following the will of his Father and doing the miraculous works of his Father. But all of those things are not really the subject for which I believe the Lord has a message for us today, but simply a starting place for us. I wanted you to observe what was occurring on the day when something else happened. And the provocation for what is to follow is significant. There was a crowd around that day, and they observed the great miracle that Jesus did. He cast out a demon and he healed this man, and who had not been able to speak, he now could speak. There was very much opposition, and Jesus took occasion by that opposition to teach the people. And so they had seen the miraculous power of God operating through this man Jesus. There were some in the crowd who were convinced that he was demon-possessed and accused him of such. There were others, however, in the crowd that were so marvelously blessed that they couldn't hardly contain themselves. They marveled that God would come down and that He would use an ordinary, what appeared to them to be an ordinary man, to minister the supernatural working of God's power to the deliverance and the healing of somebody who had been desperately bound, likely for a long period of time. Among the crowd that day, there was a certain woman. She observed all of this. And she was so overwhelmed with what she had seen, she was so overcome with the magnitude of it, she was astonished in her spirit, and she cried out in the verses following what I just read. In verse 27, she cried out, it's recorded her cry, and it came to pass, as he spake of these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. Jesus has just completed a magnificent miracle and a very profound teaching, and this woman is so excited that she says, Your mother has got to be the most blessed of all women. The great blessing that has come upon your mother because she bore you. Your mother is certainly a wonderfully blessed woman simply because you came from her womb and nursed at her breasts. This woman was laying accolades at the feet of the Virgin Mary because she had participated in one of the grandest miracles that this spectator had ever seen. Mary was in her sight blessed above all women because of the great miracle that had occurred in her life, that she had brought forth the Son of God, this great miracle worker. Now, I think if the story would stop right there, it would be very easy for us to agree with this woman and say, yes, that's right. Your mother must really be a blessed woman to have been a part of this great miracle of God, to have given life to you. That her blessing must be wonderful because God used her in this tremendous way. It must be marvelous to be her because God used her. But Jesus minced very few words with her in the next verse and established a principle of the kingdom of God, which is very important to any of us who want to be blessed. But he said, but rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. He said, yes, woman, but the true blessings of God come not from being a part of one of his miracles. They come not by being mightily used of God, but they come through simple obedience in keeping and doing the word of God. That's where the blessedness is in the kingdom of God. Sometimes we look at others. There are those in the body that do not appear to be as mightily used, and we will look at the one who does the preaching, and we will look at the one who lays on hands and casts out devils. We will look on the one who prays for the sick. We will look upon the one who has a teaching gift. We will look upon the one that prophesies. We will look upon the one that speaks out in tongues, and we will look upon those ones that God uses in visible and mighty ways, and we are tempted to say, what a blessing. Jesus said, the great blessings of God come to those who keep and do the word of God, not to those who are magnificently used in his miracles. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus showed us something else concerning his mother. You will remember the story. But I think for our purposes this morning, I'd like to read it. You see, the woman of the company that day, who was heaping accolades upon the mother of Jesus, was looking only in the natural realm and at the circumstances, the best she could understand it, she was taken up with what a wonderful experience it would have been to be the mother of Jesus. But Jesus, always seeing in the realm of the Spirit, saw that the blessings of God do not come by being used of God. The primary blessings of God, it's not that those are not profitable for us, don't misunderstand me, but the true and deep blessings of God come through keeping the Word of God. Matthew 12, verse 46. You've heard me preach from this pulpit time after time after time, and some of you may be saying, is he going down that path again? Is he plowing that ground again? Yes, I am. I sure am. Be ye doers of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, be doers of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what will happen to you if you are. I'm going to tell you what will happen to you if you don't. I'm going to tell you all the benefits of doing the Word of God. I'm going to tell you all the curses of not doing the Word of God. You're going to hear doing the Word of God. I'm going to hear doing the Word of God until we either get blue in the face, black in the behind, or until we finally get it through our head that we must do God's Word. Verse 46 of Matthew 12. While he yet talked to the people, Jesus was teaching here. Behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. And then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now let me put that in just a couple of sentences. There is no credit in the kingdom register for being used of God in a great miracle. You say, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, when you get to heaven, do you expect to see Balaam's ass on that list? God used a dumb donkey, an animal, to speak forth the Word of God. What credit do you think that animal obtained? You see, we sometimes think, that's a wonderful and joyous experience for us to be a part of God's work, to be involved in His ministry, and to be used by Him in supernatural and wonderful ways. But the blessedness in the kingdom of God and obtaining the blessings of God do not come that way. They come through simple obedience to the Word of God. Jesus said, listen to you, listen to me. My mother does not obtain her standing in the kingdom of God because I'm her son. She obtains her standing in the kingdom of God because of her obedience to the Word of God. Yes, but my father was a preacher. And that really makes me close to God. How many times have you heard that? Oh, my son is in seminary. That makes me right with God. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. That and a dime will get you a cup of coffee in a cheap kingdom restaurant. You see, those things don't make any difference in terms of eternal things. The blessedness is in simple obedience to the Word of God. Jesus corrected this in both of these instances. You may be just as blessed in the things of God through your simple obedience to the Word of God as the greatest and most magnificent ministry has ever operated in God's kingdom can be. Your blessing's just as great. Your place with God just as sure. It does not depend on the magnitude of God's use in your life. Don't you ever forget that. God used the high priest, if you'll recall, during the time of Jesus' ministry, to speak prophetically. That high priest was the one who ultimately was influential, in bringing of Jesus to the cross. The fact that the Spirit of God spoke prophetically through that man did not indicate any blessedness whatsoever in his life. Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we have seen from the second chapter of James that true Bible faith is carried out in actions, corresponding actions. The way we please God is by believing His Word to the degree that we are willing to act upon it and we are willing to do it. Now let me take you to Acts chapter 20 and let me show you why being used of God is not the answer, but obedience to His Word is. Acts chapter 20, we're going to read verse number 32. Before we do, let me make this statement. For God to use you in a great miracle does not change you necessarily. For God to use you in a tremendous way does not effect a change in you necessarily. We don't see any change in this donkey, do we? We don't see any change in many of the kings of Israel, even though God used them in marvelous ways. The only thing that will change you and bring you more into conformity to the will of God so that you are in a position to obtain the blessings of God is His Word. You see, the Word of God will effect a change in you as you do it. And it is in that changing that we come to a place where we can receive the Word of God or the blessings of God. Acts 20 and verse 32, Paul's word. This is on the back of your bulletin today. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able, that is, the word of His grace is able, the word itself is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. God's Word is able to change us. God's Word is able to build us up. And God's Word is able to bring the blessings of God into our life. It's the only way it'll come. How many times have I heard when I ask someone for their Christian testimony, tell me about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And time after time they will say, well, when I was 8 years old, God answered a prayer for me. When I was 15 years old, God healed me. I was laying in a hospital bed, and I asked the Lord for His healing, and He healed me. Yes, I know God. Oh, I know Him. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't know Him unless you have been a doer of His Word. What does His Word say? Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Invite Him into your heart and be saved. If you're not a doer of the Word, you could have been healed 1,000 times and still not know God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Time after time, individual people have had experiences with God. They have been touched with His power. They have had prayer answered. They have had the Spirit of God move through them in a supernatural way, and they know that God is real, but they have not really been changed. They haven't really been born again, and the reason that they haven't is because they have not been a doer of this Word. Jesus said, in essence, yes, my mother is a marvelous woman. And yes, it is magnificent that God would use her in delivering such a tremendous gift to mankind. But the blessing that my mother will obtain is not because she's my mother. She will be blessed because she's a doer of the will of God. She will be blessed because she hears the Word and keeps it. Now, other scriptures come to mind, I'm sure, as we're talking about this subject. Remember Matthew and chapter 7, where Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command you? Matthew chapter 7 again, Jesus said, I'll show you what a man is like who hears my word and doeth it. He's like the man that built his house on the rock, and when the storms came, the house stood. All of those scriptures, you see, validate and confirm the point that he is making here to this woman in Luke chapter 11. The blessings of God will come into your life and into my life as we hear God's word and do it, as we keep it. If it says forgive, we must forgive. If it says love, we must love. If it says pray, we must pray. If it says lay on hands, we must lay on hands. If it says not to hold grudges, then we must not hold grudges. If it says to believe, then we must believe. And it is only through acting on the word that the blessings and the promise of God will be real in your life. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. It is not, you see, that God loves one more than the other because that person is walking in more of the blessings of God. My Bible tells me at least three times that I can quote you that God is no respecter of persons, but everyone in every nation that loves him and does righteousness, God receives. And so if there's a person sitting on your row or next to you or back in this section or back over here or somewhere else in this congregation that is walking in a fuller measure of the blessings of God, it is directly related to what I am sharing with you this morning. The blessings of God are proportionate to the obedience of the receiver. And if a person will be a doer and a keeper of the word of God, Jesus himself said he would be blessed. That's the simple truth. And the Lord will work in your life the same as he will work in that other person's life on the same initiation, and that is that we would hear the word of God and that we would do it. Deuteronomy chapter 10, this closing scripture. You will see how God's word harmonizes from the old to the new. Oh, this is so powerful, I want you to understand it. This is so important, I'd want you to get it. Lord, we need for you to quicken this truth to our hearts, that it would make a change in the way we act and the way we think. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. Now, I want you to notice here that while the Lord does talk about service, he's not talking about miracles and that sort of thing, that the primary emphasis in this passage is on obedience to his word. And he's saying through Moses that the blessings of God in our temporal existence as well as our heavenly are directly related to our willingness to be doers of the word. Verse number 12, Deuteronomy chapter 10. And now Israel, he's talking to the people of God. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? What does God want from me? You ever ask yourself that question? What does God want from me? Here's the answer. But to fear thy God, and that means to reverence him for who he is, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. How? To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. How are we going to prove our love for God? Over and over he tells us that the way we show our love is by our obedience. Those who love him are those that will obey him. And so we have a simple proposition this morning, beloved. Once again, we have the broken record. Did a little different background music today, but it is the same basic story, isn't it? Obedience, obedience, obedience. To what? To the word of the Lord, because this word, his word of grace, not law and bondage, but his word of grace is able to build us up. It's able to change those things in us that need to be changed. It is able to make us receptive to the blessings of God. And this word of his grace is able to bring us to a place where we are able to obtain and walk in the fullness of our inheritance, and it will not come any other way. So I'm going to preach this word, and I'm going to teach this word, and to the best of my ability, I'm going to live this word, and I'm going to preach it again, and I'm going to teach it again, and I'm going to exhort you again. I'm going to chastise you again. I'm going to warn you again. I'm going to exhort you again. I'm going to instruct you again, because I want more than anything else for the blessings of God to be yours in a real way. And it's the only way that it will happen. Father, we ask that as we are preaching and teaching and sharing this word, not only through my lips, but through other preachers and teachers whom you're raising up in this body and others who would come into our midst to share with us, that we would preach and teach and exhort and instruct and warn and correct with the word of your grace, recognizing that this is a grace and mercy-filled book. It's a grace and mercy-filled word, and that the ultimate objective in the declaration of these truths is to bring every believer into full conformity with the word and the image of Jesus Christ, and that the blessings of God should be manifest in abundance in every believer's life. We say to you, Lord, as a congregation speaking through its pastor this morning, that, Lord, where we need correction, bring us correction through this word. Where we need rebuke, bring us rebuke through this word. Where we need instruction in righteousness, bring that instruction through this word. Where we need strengthening and encouraging, and where we need clarity of doctrine, bring those things through this word of your grace. And don't let us, Father, if we've got to have it weekly, don't ever allow us to lose sight of the importance, the absolute necessity of our keeping this word in its spirit primarily. That it would govern everything that we do, that it would govern everything that we say, and that, yes, our Father, that it would even come to govern our thoughts. Thereby we know that we shall obtain the inheritance among all the rest of those who are sanctified or separated unto God. Father, we're grateful this morning that you want us to have this inheritance, that your heart is longing to pour it out. But we thank you, Father, that you are patient not to pour it out before we are ready to receive it. And that you're working with us and developing us and changing us and molding us and bringing us to the place where we can receive it, where you have the kind of relationship with us that we have been found trustworthy, that you can commit these marvelous things into our care. In the name of Jesus now, Father, we commit ourselves to the keeping as well as the hearing of this glorious word. Amen.